Welcome to KXRU Sports Talk from the Couve. I'm James L. Crockett here with you today in studio. We've got our producer, as always, Connor Flynn, David Mace, and, as always, wireless, Mike Koreski.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sonny Crockett, and welcome, folks. Sports in the Couve, right here on KXRW. Thank you for listening and checking us out. And for those handful of fans that we already have, thanks. And hopefully you guys will multiply like rabbits, and we'll have more.
Maybe those people who are stuck in the parking lot waiting for their first In-N-Out burger is giving us a listen right now.
Stop it. Okay. So that
might have to go down there and table. Wave some signs. Tune in.
Ah, there we go. If Macy would wear a sandwich board out there, I'd be all in.
You'll volunteer for that, right, David?
I would actually put my stamp of approval on that.
Yeah, would I get a free meal?
Yeah, free in and out only.
Oh, sandwich. We'd buy you something. We would.
If we could get through the line.
Yeah. Right.
So there's the one up in Ridgefield, and then there's also one showing up.
It'd be quicker to go inside, you think, maybe? Or
probably.
That's a great question. Un poco, Crockett says. Okay, so let's get off of that, and let's go to some baseball. It's playoff chase. It's the playoff chase. Yes. Even fans like Macy like.
Go Trab.
Yeah, the playoff chase. So we have our own Seattle Mariners a game and a half out of first, and they are in the third wild card right now. I think it's the third. I think I just looked. Okay, Crockett, you look it up.
They are a half game up on the Red Sox right now.
Oh, okay. I looked a couple hours ago, but maybe the Red Sox had lost.
Two games back of the New York Yankees.
I knew that.
Yeah, and then a half game up on the Red Sox. Okay. And like I said, we've had the high water mark of being that first wild card spot. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, and the other day, all three teams were tied for the wild card. All three of them. So that was kind of interesting. So they come back home. And they have the Padres coming up this weekend. And no, not the Padres. The A's, excuse me, the Athletics. Oakland,
yeah,
Sacramento.
A big home stand with
that's
the
this
A's
weekend.
And, the
and next week is the Padres. And I am going to the game tomorrow night. So wish me luck. And hopefully by the time you guys hear this, I will have had good luck and it would have been a win. And I am going to the last game of the Vetter Cup on Wednesday. Did you guys know about the Vetter Cup?
Absolutely. As big Pearl
okay,
Jam
but
fans.
Yeah, I'm talking on Connor and Macy, though. Mm. Okay, so here's the deal. The Vetter Cup. The singer for Pearl Jam, Eddie Vedder.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. Pearl Jam from Seattle, right? However, he was like, was he born and raised in San Diego, or he just lived there before he came
to
Seattle?
He had some – San Diego has – quite a bit of claim to Eddie Vedder, but then again, he spread himself around a little bit to Chicago and Boston.
Well, and the Cubs are his team.
Right.
So that's the most ironic thing about it. So, however, Major League Baseball this year, because people had just called it the Vedder Cup, right? Each time the Padres and Mariners meet each year. This year, Major League Baseball recognized it. Eddie Vedder actually designed a trophy of the six. Whoever wins the most out of the six games gets a guitar and the trophy.
Heck yeah.
What if they go 3-3?
I think they'll split it. Maybe they'll cut them in half. So that's, maybe a coin flip or maybe a fight to the death between the managers.
Ooh.
There's some possibilities are endless because I've thought that too.
I can tell you exactly. There are tiebreakers involved here. So
right, fight to the death.
The Mariners are off to a very good start in the Vetter Cup.
Yeah, they're up 3-0.
Yeah, they swept the Padres
in
their
first
three games.
They just need one.
If by some disaster they lose those three games, the next three games to the San Diego Padres, the tiebreakers will go to run differential, the team with the greatest run differential in the season series. Again, that's looking very good for the Mariners right now.
Okay.
Or EV, which of course is short for Eddie Vedder, but also for exit velocity. And if the run differential ends up the same, the team with the highest exit velocity recorded on a hit during these games will win the Vetter Cup.
Dum da dum dum dum.
Nice.
And they really want it.
Yeah, exactly. I think they should actually, each team should pick one person and have a sing-off of Pearl Jam songs.
That'd be great.
I would love for Julio Rodriguez to go against Fernando Tatis. Singing Alive.
Total karaoke version. So you don't even just have the lyrics up there on the big screen.
You got it.
Go for
and
it.
And Eddie can judge.
Jeremy Spoken.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be great? And have Eugenio Suarez sing it.
That would be great.
with the accent.
In Spanish.
But as you got
it'd be wonderful. Yeah, Spanish version.
Even flow.
There you go.
Yeah. Exactly. So anywho, speaking of Eugenio Suarez. They traded for him at the deadline, and James brought up before we started this wonderful broadcast that we hadn't talked to you guys since the trade deadline. I think we did. I think they got Naylor. I think they had just acquired Josh Naylor when we talked.
No, that we actually had a meeting right before it, but this is after the...
So they acquired two big bats, Josh Naylor, first baseman from the Arizona Diamondbacks, and then Eugenio Suarez, or as I like to call him, Gino, which I will from now on, because that's a lot of syllables, his real name. The third baseman.
And that's a consistent pronunciation there. Everybody knows how to pronounce Gino.
Yeah.
But when you start adding the first name, the last name just goes out. People come up with all kinds of different ways to say that. But
so,
the good vibes are back in with the Mariners to bring him back. A really good job by Jerry DePoto and Justin Hollander there to make that happen, to pretty much bring the two best offensive players traded in the last,
on
up to
the
that
free agent market. I mean, not the free agent market. Well, free agent market, but on the trading block.
On the trading block, who were available and ended up getting moved. They got both of those guys as well as a relief arm. And
yes,
Caleb
that was
Ferguson.
Very cool. The Ferg, as I like to call him.
And they've really needed him just to stay in the games that they have with the way that the bullpen's been running. It was a real good job to get at least one good arm to come in.
Yeah, you would have to go with that. I will say they almost had the closer from the Twins, Duran.
Yeah, Duran.
They almost had it. I guess they had a deal on the table, and they said, here it is. And apparently the Twins, they thought the Twins were going to bite on it, but at the last minute the Phillies came in and gave them something better. So it was kind of a kick to the groin a couple days ago when Duran was closing games out for the Phillies against the Mariners. So I talked like Minnie Mouse for a little while, thanks to those two games.
But where the Mariners sit right now, they have an 87% chance to make the playoffs.
So you're saying there's a chance.
There's a very good chance, more than a good chance. And still, they have one of the higher percentage chances in the American League to make the World Series at 8% right now. And
there we go.
So those are good marks right now from where the Mariners sit, and they need to continue that momentum through the next couple months.
And since you said that statement, David Mace has left, and he is on his way to the casino.
Come back, so, David.
Placing
some money down.
Oh, you're here still.
Yeah.
You came back already. So that's where we're at with the playoff race. So it should be a ton of fun. It's really fun with the Milwaukee Brewers having the best record in the National League. Not for you, Sonny, because I know you're a Cubs guy.
No, not fun at all, but they did.
Yeah, but you have to admit it's fun that a team that hasn't had that in 20, 30 years is there. You have to give it that. Okay,
no, I do
not.
All right, I don't give much to the Milwaukee Brewers, especially since they are the former Seattle Pilots. I still hold a little bit of a grudge for that.
Jeez. That was before you were born.
It was before I was born, and that's very true. But I still want I want the best for the Seattle Mariners and not the best for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Okay.
But it is a good testament to what you can do. Not only are they good on the major level, but they're very good on the minor league level as well.
Yes.
Have one of the most impressive player development systems. Good for them, and they're doing it under salary constraints that most teams would just buckle under. So, they get a lot of credit for being where they
are. They're one of those teams that's kind of the same model as the Mariners. And there's a couple other teams that Tampa Bay, there's probably a handful of teams now, four or five, that rely heavily on the draft and try to be pretty shrewd with how we buy players on the free agent market.
And they're also doing a lot of what the Mariners claim to be doing, draft developing and trading. Right now the Mariners have an impressive amount that they haven't traded yet, but they still have that to point to in the coming years as well.
Well, and that's the interesting part, because now we're finally getting this year some of those ball players, some of those top 10 prospects like Cole Young got up on the team. He's stuck with them. He looks really good at second base. Brandon Williamson wasn't a top 10 prospect, but he came up there earlier this year and performed well enough to be in the nine spot hitting and play great defense and be an everyday guy for a little while.
Yeah, Ben Williams has a chance to be in their future plans as well.
Yeah, you got it. So
he's gone down to Tacoma since they sent him down, and he's been impressive there. He's been popping home runs, like, you know, and taking advantage of being back at that level.
And that's exactly why he was sent down there, was to try to develop a home run swing. And apparently he's found something.
Yeah, and that's really, really hard to do when you're facing major league pitching. You're not going to be able to develop that on the fly.
Oh, yeah, you can't get like, okay, I need to work on these three things. You can't do that up in the big leagues, you know.
While you're trying to play gold level defense, because that's the only way you're staying in the lineup if your defense is that good.
Yes.
And when you're trying to do all those things, it's hard to do. We're just going to go back to Cal Raleigh and talk about a little big dumper dump for a records dump to see what where he's been. He's so far since we last talked, he's become the first player in the major leagues this year to hit 40 home runs. Mm-hmm. And then he's also has the most homers now by a switch hitting catcher. He just passed up Todd Hundley when he got to 42 to take that over. He's the first catcher with consecutive 100 RBI seasons since 2000, and that was Mike Piazza in that season. Mm-hmm. He's the second most home runs ever by a catcher, just passing the great Johnny Bench when he hit 46. And now that he's at 47, he is only one behind Salvador Perez for having the most home runs ever by a catcher. Cal Raleigh, big dumper, records dump.
And then wasn't he chasing Mickey Mantle on the switch hitter?
He actually had the most homers by a switch hitter through 123 games. I know that seems like really random, but that's just where they were.
So yeah, because he's on that Mickey Mantle record.
He is on a pace to do that.
And that's from like the early 60s. So it's like truly a special season. And we'll see how the MVP thing shakes out, because Judge has such a better average on base and that kind of thing. However, he's DHing most of the time. He's not really playing the field. And Cal plays catcher. So he's also in charge of handling pitchers and throwing guys out. So he's got a lot more on his plate.
Yeah,
so
this could be interesting. Aaron just missed a week and a half, you know, with an injury. Yeah. And then, here's the big window that Cal Raleigh could have come and really put a stamp on the MVP race. And Judge has come back. And, yes, he now has that detriment of being a DH, but he came back just flying again.
Oh, yeah.
That guy is unstoppable offensively.
Definitely. So, I mean, it'll be real interesting to see how the voting goes. I think the Mariners definitely will need to get in the playoffs for Cal to have consideration, I think, for that MVP challenge.
Yeah, and I think he'll have to finish strong, and that's going to be a lot on what they can do with the depth, and can they give him time off to keep rested and ready to come out and do it. But he doesn't want to take days off. He doesn't even want to DH. He really wants to be behind the plate every day, and that's a credit to him. That's what one of the things that has powered the Mariners to where they are at this point in the season, by having him do what he does.
Other than teams, what players out there for the other teams would take him up be his biggest challenge?
Just Aaron Judge.
I think if Bobby Witt, for example, if they had a huge last month of the season for example, passed the Mariners in the playoff race,
he could get some consideration.
They're
only 2.5 out, right? The Royals from the wild card. So
let's go, big dumper.
So anywho, let's keep moving, because as usual, we're against the clock. Yeah. I wanted to mention that five of the Mariners draftees from just in July, like last time we got together, five of them have just been promoted to Modesto, short season A.
Yes,
already.
And a sixth is actually going to get his first start coming up very shortly for Modesto. And that'll make Colton Shaw, that's a seventh rounder. He's going to get his debut there for Modesto as well.
Nice. A couple big names that we talked about last time is Luke Stevenson, the catcher who was the second round pick.
He was the supplemental first round draft pick.
Yeah, between first and second.
Their second pick that they made.
Yeah, the peanut butter and jelly man.
That's right.
He's been up there the longest in Modesto.
Seven games already with six RBIs.
Yeah, a couple of homers.
He's done real well.
And eating those sandwiches.
Keeping him in his hat.
What's that?
Keeping him in his hat.
That's right. Yeah. And then Nick Becker, the shortstop, and he was a second rounder, high school out of New Jersey.
He's gotten in two games right now. He's the only high school player that they've drafted that has made their debut already, and he's only 18 years old.
And then Corbin Dickerson, the outfielder, he was a couple rounds later, right?
He was in the fifth round. Okay. He's played a couple of games so far. Modesto played great defense, and got three hits in seven plate appearances so far.
Nice. All right. So yeah, they're off to their major league careers really well.
And they got two more players that have gone from Modesto. Isaac Leon just got his debut. He did pretty well in that. And then Casey Hintz actually has pitched in two games and already got one save. The following back from Modesto, as we move on to Everett, where mm-hmm. Everett is now, they're making their playoff push. They're getting ready to start the playoffs, which for them will start on September 9th. They've also got Lucas Kelly getting set to debut for the Everett Aqua Sox, and that's nice. A draft pick from the Mariners. Okay. And also, they just got Felman Celestin mm-hmm. to move up from Modesto, and he's, I believe it was the ranked 10th overall yes. prospect for the Mariners, and mm-hmm. really right around that in that top 100 overall prospects in the game. So that's a huge influx of talent that they can use, because they've lost guys like Emerson and Montez and Arroyo.
They went up to double A. Okay, so enough of that. Let's talk some local independent league stuff real fast. What you got for me? We do know that the Ridgefield Raptors didn't have too good of a season.
Not a great season. They did finish off with an improvement on their first half to go into the second half.
They had a nice two series.
Yeah, ended up finishing 24-30 overall, but 12-15 in the second half of the season. But they mm-hmm. did pretty well for that. And then I got to talk about the Portland Pickles.
Yeah,
they,
let's pickle it up these last couple
43-11 overall on the season. They finished the second half 22-7. They already had a first round first half playoff spot locked up. They ended up facing the Salem team, which is the Marion Berries, in the first round of the playoffs, and they took care of them in pretty short fashion.
Sweet.
And then they went on to face the Corvallis Knights, who is a perennial contender in the West Coast League, especially coming out of that Southern Division, and they took care of them in their one-game playoff to move on to the finals, and they faced the Bellingham Bells, and they come up just a little bit short there against the Bellingham Bells, so they finished a runner-up in the West Coast League for that championship. They were looking to defend their championship and go, you know, for the second win the championship for the second straight year, but what a great season they had. And again, it's the final season for their head coach Mark Magdaleno, and he really sends them off heading in the right direction. And a real class job they do down there with the Portland Pickles. And we've heard from a lot of people that we've, you know, had even here in studio say that what they do down there at Walker Stadium. And,
good stuff.
As part owner is, you know, the punter for the Seattle Seahawks, former one, John Ryan. Yeah. Nice. And so it's just, there's just a lot of real fun things going on with the Pickles.
He's pickled too. So, closing this segment out, I was going
Pickles.
To say,
Gotta throw that in there.
I was going to say, catch those guys next spring when they're back in the Raptors Pickles and that whole scene.
Yep. One more quick hit on local baseball. The Hillsboro Hops is coming up. They're going to be facing the Vancouver Canadians, a Blue Jays minor league team. And that's mm-hmm. going to be their last week, their last six games playing at a Ron Tonkin Field down at the Hillsboro Stadium before they move into their new stadium
right next door to it.
Yeah, and they're building that up, and it's really good.
A home run
to see
shot
that.
Away?
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
Across the freeway. Exactly.
So if you have one more week of their regular season to catch a game there at that stadium, if that means, if you guys have enjoyed it over the years.
All right. Time to hit break, and we will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in downtown Vancouver, Washington. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com.
Welcome back to KXRW Sports Talk from the Couve. To follow us along, go to find us on Instagram at From the Couve. That's From the Couve on Instagram to follow us more, get more updates on when we broadcast and other fun content as we have up there. So I'm going to throw this over again to the wireless one, Mike Koreski.
Thank you so much, Mr. Sonny Crockett. And time to talk some football. I know David Mace is ready. He's so excited. He's got his Browns gear on. He's repping. We're only a couple weeks away, and this will get further up in the show as we keep recording episodes as the season is here. So football talk. Let's kind of start with the Seahawks, I guess, because that's the local, and then we'll let David talk about some different topics and all that kind of stuff. So, Macy, What do you like about the Seahawks this season, about old McDonald's second year as coach, the new players they brought in? What are you seeing so far? You've been studying for your leagues. Talk to me.
Yeah, it's going to be a real interesting season. And I think with the early injuries, like let's just talk about the NFC West for in general with Matthew Stafford finally coming back a little bit from his injuries. But I felt like at that time when he was healthy, they would probably be the favorites going into the division. But with that, I think it's really wide open. I think more of a three-team race, though, because I want to say Seattle, I want to say the Rams, and I do not want to count out the Niners yet. I still think Arizona has some work to do. But, you know, they made some choices in the offseason. They basically have a whole new offense, like, for their skill players. And it's very exciting if you're a Seahawk fan to see how it all plays out. But they have a few players there that a lot of young guys that they picked up also in the draft that can play some big roles right off the bat as well. So it's going to be exciting for the Seahawks this year.
Right, and that includes bringing in a new offensive coordinator in Clint Kubiak, who looks like he has molded this team a little bit into something that their coach and even the fans and everyone has wanted to see them hammer more on the running game, and he's really shown that he can direct this into a way that to take advantage of some of the personnel that they've got.
Well, the biggest thing about the running game is
they don't have Lynch anymore. That's the biggest
thing. Yeah, because he was the last, like, dependable running back.
Oh, yeah.
They haven't had
such
one since.
Runner.
They have ran through so many guys
that
are great when they play, but there's been several years where two to three of them are out, and then one comes back for, like, one game out for the season. And so that's the thing. It even is so ingrained right now. I just read a rumor. It was just yesterday on the Twitter, in the Twitterverse, that they were talking. Someone was floating the idea, and maybe it was just some guy on his couch at home eating cereal or whatever. And
as you do.
Yeah, exactly. You know, what you're wearing or not wearing is someone else's guess. But whatever. The thing on that, Connor could keep that.
Oh, yeah.
So,
in the bag.
So, anywho, I was reading something that there was actually a talk about trading Kenneth Walker to the Bengals straight up for Hendrickson.
If they could do that, that would happen so quick, so fast. If you can get the Bengals to agree to that,
yeah. Well,
especially
the
way that Zach Charbonnet has looked so far in the preseason.
Well, right, but
and some of the other depth they've had.
But then I scroll through the tweets. And a couple tweets later,
later?
Yeah, no.
I'm kidding.
This actually was pretty fast, but it can be a couple hours,
right? Yeah, yeah.
This is actually pretty fast, but there was two minutes later, not even 2 minutes, there was a tweet that said, there's going to be a job share between Walker and Charbonnet. So that's what was cracking me up, is, you know, they're like, so they're already admitting the health of these guys is so, you know,
I'm choosing to look
so
at
suspect.
It. That's how good Charbonnet's looked, and Walker just
okay,
he has not been on
going
he hasn't,
that way.
Yeah, he hasn't been on the field. So you're seeing Mike McDonald come through and say, "Hey, he's just hasn't played." So Charbonnet has, and he's been taking it to the house pretty consistently. They've gone through the preseason, especially in the games against the Chiefs and the Raiders.
And one thing I did, like last year, if you noticed, with McDonald, he retooled in the middle of the season. He used the whole season to retool the defense with what he wanted, with players he wanted. I mean, he was wholesaling, cutting guys like after week 8, you know, and 9 and 10. He's just like, nope, I want my guys. And with his second draft now there, I think he's finding guys to, you know, mold what he wants.
Yeah, and what's real key, too, is when you're bringing in a new quarterback, a quarterback like Sam Darnold, who is kind of known a little bit as a gunslinger. He takes a lot of chances. And what you want to do with him, you know, to make smarter, high-percentage passes is get that running game going. The better those two guys play together makes his job a lot easier, a lot less pressure on him as well. And, you know, lie in more with the old school football of running the ball, controlling the clock, and playing good defense.
Well, and that's what Darnold, that was the secret to his success with the Vikings.
Yeah.
You know, he just was able, they had such a good O-line and run game. He could play action everyone was playing honest. And then, of course, he had Jefferson to throw
in. He had Justin Jefferson.
That helps a little bit.
But not just one quarterback. Three new quarterbacks that they brought in this year.
Yes.
One, bringing back someone from their past in Drew Locke, but they've also got Jalen Milroe. And Jalen Milroe is going to get a full game to start in this last preseason game against the Packers. And, you know, that's going to be big for his development and to see where they can put him into the different packages. And what that looks – we look at the roster, the way they could mold – or not mold it, but where they can put all these guys together and the kind of different positions that they might have available when you're committed now to three quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And that means you're going to have to cut somewhere. You're going to have to cut either one of out of your cornerback depth or your safety depth. You might have to cut from your offensive line. Maybe instead of keeping 10 offensive linemen, you keep 9.
Right.
You know, maybe you won't be able to keep all 4 of the running backs that they've used that they really value quite a bit, because not only are you bringing in those running backs, but they're going to go with that fullback and Robbie Utes.
Yeah, but the way their past is, you better keep all the running backs you
can. Which is why they're looking at stashing a guy like Damian Martinez, who looked really good in the preseason. It looked like they could really turn a guy who was a 7th-round pick into something very valuable. And they might have to try and stash him on their practice squad just to keep a guy like George Helani, who not only has been very good running the ball, but also on special teams.
Okay, so that leads me to the question. This will be our last Seahawk part of it until we get on some other topics, because we got other stuff to cover.
Yep.
David's ready. But you were saying, Macy, in the break, you wanted to go around the table here and get a sleeper on the Seahawks, right?
Yeah.
Who to watch for?
Well, the obvious player, of course, would be Zach Charbonnet or Jaxon Smith-Njigba. But let's go deep into Arroyo, the tight end.
Sure,
they cut Noah Fant for a reason.
Yeah.
So this kid was playing that well to where you can release him part of the Russell Wilson deal that was left there. And one last take on Jalen Milroe, though. When you talk about McDonald, he was in Baltimore, and what they're going to use, he's hoping, if you're a Seahawk fan, that he's like their version of a Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
When Lamar came in, he was backing up Flacco, and they sprinkled him out with game little set.
Secret weapon.
Yeah. So
package plays.
Obviously, you know, he's got a lot of work to do now, but if he can develop on how they want, they might have something.
So you're going with Arroyo as
your
sleeper?
I'm going to go with Arroyo.
Okay, and Sonny, you mentioned him just a bit ago, George
Helani.
I'm thinking I'm going to roll with him as my sleeper, because I think between Charbonneau and Walker, someone's getting hurt, and I think he's going to come up. I think he's going to get a little special team breakthrough as well.
Absolutely. Oh, they look like they're using him a lot in their punt return, kick return.
So I do
options.
Like him. I think he's going to stand out a little bit.
Well, right. And as we're talking about there, that last spot is who knows who will get that. And they're looking at him and going, well, he's already being worked. I don't think they can cut him even if they, you know,
agreed.
Regardless, they got to, and you know, just to maybe they don't get hurt. Maybe the first few, I see a path for Helani to be very, very impactful, even in the running game. Because if you're asking me who my sleeper is, I'm looking at a guy like Jalen Sundell, who right now is looking to split time it between a center and the guard spots if needed, along with a guy like Gray Zabel, who's looked really good. But he's a college teammate of Gray Zabel. So having those two guys line up together to work off of, either as the two guard tandems, which you can really do some fun things when the guards are really lockstep. Mm-hmm. Or if you're dominating that left side of the line, you've got Charles Cross, you've got Zabel, you've got this Sundell kid. And if you can take that and really open a lot of holes, it doesn't matter who's back there in the backfield, they can really put some production in that part of the game, which, again, as Connor had said, as David, really chews up clock. It really sets a tone that you can go even to your defense.
Okay, and then lastly, Connor Flynn, do you got any kind of Seahawk pick? It doesn't have to be, like, totally underground. Just, you got anybody?
Overall?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Marshawn Lynch, for sure.
No.
Oh, now currently?
Yeah, I'm talking about watching on the current
Beast team. Mode's not walking back through that door.
It's all over my head. But my question was, how common is it for three quarterbacks to be chosen?
It's not anymore. It just because
it was.
It's not. It
unless
used,
you're
it
the Browns and they have five
we're,
right
we're gonna
now.
We're going to keep four.
So does that decrease the value of all of them in general? I mean, like, you know, is it like, not one is as good to just take one or two, you need to get a few more because you couldn't get one good enough or as good as you
not in this case. They bring in the big guy and Sam Darnold. They have a quality backup that they're very familiar with in Drew Locke. Yeah. And it's really about they did not, it's not spending extreme capital on a guy like Jalen Milroe, but right. they want to see if they can use him to give them a different dynamic during games. And if that's how he's on the roster for the entire season in that way, that's just big. That'll be big for the Seahawks. It means really good things, because otherwise they will try to find a spot for him on the practice squad to work to getting him into more time in the upcoming seasons. But if they can find ways to get him involved and be productive, they're going to do that. And it just means big things. It means that the opposite, that they're all being productive. They're doing the roles that they need them to do.
Okay. So Macy, what do you got? Talk to me. What about some topics you'd like to share?
Yeah,
well, let's do win total for the Seahawks, Mike.
Okay, make it quick. Oh, man. We're up against the clock. Yep. I'm going 10.
I'm going to go 9.
12.
Ooh, whoa, saucy.
I'm also going 9. So if you're looking to go up to Elon A, it's like I think they're probably have an 8.5 under. So yeah. You bet with your guys here on from the Couve.
Well, Dave already bet when he went over there to place his last bet during the first segment, his baseball bet, because he's a fan.
I think 9, but I could see a path to more than that in this coming out of this NFC West.
All right, go, Macy.
All right, so there's a lot of interesting things going on. You know, of course, this is the last weekend of the preseason, and then Tuesday will be the final cut. So there's a lot of interesting stuff going on. There's a lot of rookies playing for time. You know, there could be a couple situations where maybe a Russell Wilson situation comes up where a rookie jumps a couple spots to be able to be a starter. And, you know, if there's one rookie kind of out there, Jackson Dart's really making some noise right now in New York.
I was going to say, just a couple hours ago, I saw him throw a touchdown pass.
Every week. The kid's hungry. I know he's got Winston and Wilson above, but he might be able to leapfrog them both at some point.
Sure, sure. All right, what else do you got from around the league? What are you talking about, teams you like, sleepers or anything? We got a little bit here because then we got to get some college in. So go for it.
Yeah, that's true. Some of my sleeper teams, now that whole AFC South is very difficult to kind of predict how that's going to go through. But I'm going to say a sleeper team in the AFC East, and I'm going to say the New England Patriots can take second in that division this year. They can go from last up to second behind the Bills.
All right, hot takes. Okay, well, let's talk a little college.
Okay.
Something I was going to tell you guys, I just saw this on the news as I was preparing to come down here. Yeah, I know. Who watches the news? This guy once in a great while. So basically, I just saw that, you know, the Pack, the Cougs and Beavs will be on the CW this year. You know, half of their games at least. And it looks like, rumor is, according to John Canzano, the big reporter who covers Pac-12 and all that kind of thing, is that the Pac-12 looks like a 5-year deal with the CW for games. That's pretty crazy. We'll take it. I don't mind it.
Yeah, way to get on there, guys.
That was actually on from our very own Jamie Hudson. She actually reported that. So that's former great. Volcano sideline that's reporter. Great. Yeah. So anyway, there you go. Hot off the press, guys. So, and by Monday, it'll be old news, but you guys will love it when you hear it here. That was kind of cool.
All you Cougs fans and Beavs fans, you'll have a way to keep track
for
of Pac-12.
For years to go, baby.
And all the Pac-12 guys.
Well,
it's good to have a home. That's
at least
first
it'll be
step.
What we'll have eight football teams next year. So we're in the chips as far as getting the conference together. So we'll be all right. I know you want to talk about picks for title.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Let's just go around the room. Let's do our Super Bowl prediction and our national championship prediction.
Saucy.
Both at once, and I'm going to start with Sonny. You start with your NFL Super Bowl prediction.
I have Eagles over Bills.
Okay. I like it. And then your national championship?
You know I have to be like pretty confident, but like I'm not just screwing around when I say that if I'm saying that I think Ohio State's gonna take the title, I mean it, because I wouldn't say it otherwise.
Right.
And who will they play?
Oh, that's a hard one.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That might be too much, Macy.
Let's say Notre Dame.
Okay.
Ooh, saucy. Right.
And then Connor,
you said Super Bowl.
Connor, Super Bowl, NFL first. Who's your picks?
last year's pick was the Lions, Detroit, you know, because they had a big pomp and circumstance coming up into the season, leading into the season, but then it was kind of like real quick. Let's just say them again, the Niners.
Yeah. Well, they play in the same
conference. They could be in the NFC Championship. I always do that across the conferences. Well, Seattle then? Or they're in the same
conference? No, they're in the NFC as well.
Jeez. All right.
So basically, you like the NFC.
I don't want to see. I don't want to see the Patriots or the Ravens or the Eagles or any of those birds on the East Coast, or the Buccaneers. Don't want to see them. You know.
So. Okay, we'll roll with that. And then what about college there, Connor?
Man, okay.
Just give me a couple teams you like.
Notre Dame, you know, family loves Notre Dame.
Okay.
Okay.
My brother's the biggest fan I've ever witnessed or been aware of.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, right? I know.
Rudy!
Rudy. Yeah, raised on that.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
And Mikey, Super Bowl.
Okay, Super Bowl, I'm going Chiefs and Lions.
Okay, and who wins?
I don't know. I want to see Mahomes take on the Brady Bunch with the chips record. So I'm going to go there.
Yeah, and then like college.
Bills are due. The Bills are due to break through at least once, and the Ravens are due to break through at least once, you know, off the Chiefs. So I don't know if this is that year, though.
Is Detroit and New York in the same conference?
Yes.
Okay.
And then college. National championship?
College, you know, I kind of hate it because I'm a Coug and we were kind of just kicked out the door, kind of. Wah. I will say probably, you know, Ohio State, like Sonny said, they're just so stacked. And I do hate the SEC as well. So I would not like to see them.
Such a strong
But
word.
Then Michigan just caught, you know, just admitted a bunch of cheating. So that's not cool.
I got nothing good to say about them.
Yeah, no, you don't.
Being a Buckeye,
but yeah, Ohio State probably, and then, gosh, I don't know because the way the tournament gets set up, you know, with the seeds, and I know they're changing it again, and all that. So, because I would love for like a Boise State, you know, to break through again or something. But that was the Boise. Real special
maybe,
chance they had.
Maybe Genty would have to come back, and Kellen Moore would have to come back.
Yeah,
Pete Carroll is not letting him go for anything, no matter what stance.
And I will say, no Bill Belichick for UNC getting anywhere.
Well, maybe in basketball.
You wrap it up,
and then for me, I'm going. With basically repeat champions from this last season, which usually I don't like to do that. I got the Eagles over the Ravens in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And then for the national championship, I got two teams in the same conference, my Ohio State Buckeyes over the Penn State Nifty Lions.
Wow, three people.
Nifty Lions? Yeah. I like that instead of Nittany. You go
three people chose the Buckeyes. Surprised nobody went for the number one overall ranked in the preseason, Texas Longhorns. First time the Texas Longhorns have ever been number one overall.
That's true. Arch Manning.
And then just to look at the Oregon Ducks, to keep it local a little bit, they are ranked, they're opening ranked 7 on the season. So they're highly thought of as well as being a contender for the.
Yeah, whatever.
For the big chip.
Real
quick.
Always,
yeah, three for the Buckeyes.
Are.
And you know that hurts us. You know that
so,
hurts.
So, okay,
real
on
quick,
that note,
real
go
quick
ahead.
Step back. Any of you guys gamers?
No.
Regular
not
Nintendo?
There you go. Yeah, just mentioned, you know,
Tecmo
Madden.
Bowl.
Madden 26 just came out last week.
Yeah, it sure did.
So, yeah, I'm not playing it, but, you know.
Are you
mention.
Going to?
Probably 20 years from now.
Okay,
I'm playing, you know.
You'll find it at a yard sale for $5.
Madden 2003. Yeah, yeah. So,
okay, I can see it.
Yeah, I'm playing that old stuff now.
Well, that's why you're the captain, man, because you are versatile.
Yep.
So on that note, we are going to break, and then we will come back with our third segment. So don't go anywhere and listen to these words from our fine sponsors.
We'll be right back.
KXRW programming is made possible by partners like Buckley & Associates, attorneys at law, helping injured victims seek the justice they deserve for over 40 years, licensed in Washington State. Our diverse team speaks over 7 languages, making your rights more accessible and easier to understand. Learn more at buckleylaw.net. Again, that's buckleylaw.net. Buckley & Associates. We speak your language.
And we're back on KXW Sports Talk from the Couve. Thank you for listening, everybody. And here to body slam our way through the final segment is Wireless Mike Koreski.
Oh, yeah. I've got some chairs folded, and they're going to be broken out on you guys on this panel. As we get into this last segment, by the way, guys, it's been a great show. Thank you so much. you guys for all our countless text chains and all those things, trying to figure this out, getting everyone in the same room. It's, I really dig this, so thanks.
Anytime, Mike.
We'll go with we're talking about wrestling, and it's going to be kind of like a programming sandwich. So we're going to start with a local angle. Something different happened, and I just wanted to bring it up. I don't really want to go on one side of the fence or the other. It's just talking about it because I just find it fascinating, to be honest with you. So there was supposed to be a night of wrestling at Lord's Gym here in Vancouver, and it was actually the old Uncle Milt's. For anyone local knows where that what, old Uncle Milt's.
Milt's was what the Walgreens is.
No, or the, oh, no, okay. Lord's okay. Gym is what okay. Was, okay. You know, is now what Uncle Milt's used to be. But they were going to have a local night of wrestling, and it was going to be a big comeback for a guy named Joey Ryan who hadn't wrestled since 2020, and he had ran into some sexual allegations back then, and some people will say he was canceled. So this is going to be his first appearance since then. There was a lot of backlash and whatnot, so the event was canceled. Prestige Wrestling in Portland put on, we're going to counter-program with one on the same night, which was August 23rd. They were going to program with something, but that seems to now be off the table as well for some other stuff. Nothing to do with allegations or anything, but just some other merchandising decisions. So, I just find it interesting, local, you know, we have this kind of heat.
Alleged merchandising decisions.
Yeah. Alleged merchandising decisions. So we can't get too far in there.
So it's like Portland and, Wrestling versus Prestige in Vancouver.
Yeah, or exactly. I mean, Northwest, like, battling on this stuff. And it's...
Well, when we're talking professional wrestling, as it should be.
There you go. So that was
let's fight the good fight.
It's like, yeah, classic, you know, franchise competition.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's the invasion over again.
Yeah. Okay. So speaking of all that, you know, invasions and two sides going at each other and whatnot, let's get into the pro part of it. Now we're going to go into WWE. Their last Peacock live event is coming up this weekend. And then they're moving to ESPN for future live events. And in turn, ESPN has removed AEW News from their site.
Petty.
Pretty much. And, you know, WWE, they've been doing the counter-programming thing. Whenever AEW puts something on, they decide to, too. And it's just, it kind of gets me a little bit because it's like, isn't there enough room for everybody? You know, kind of thing, but I guess not, you know, because it's different, I guess, with the football leagues, because no one goes head-to-head with the NFL. No one does that. They all do spring football, and it usually doesn't work. I remember when the USFL was trying to take over the, you know, or try to compete with the NFL. We were all a little bit too young to really, you know, get into all of it. But, yeah, that wasn't at the same time, though. That was spring still, where, you know, when you get the wrestling, it's all the same. There is no break. There is no nothing. It's 365, 24, you know, 12 months a year, 24 hours a day.
I wouldn't quite rule it out, though, because you just mentioned the NFL, who they're in league now with ESPN as well. So when you get these corporate overlords, anything could happen.
Emphasis
here.
Emphasis on the over.
Right, and you're talking about not only WWE owned by Endeavor, and then owned by, which is now like I think TKO owns,
which is UFC, and
which owns the UFC. The UFC is now jumping from ESPN to Paramount Plus, and at least all of their pay per views are now going to be free as long as you have a Paramount Plus subscription.
Well, yeah,
so they're going to that model.
Something, but,
and,
yeah.
Right, and now right, but maybe you're watching your CSI or your South Park or whatever.
Yellowstone.
Yellowstone, those kinds of things. But
and then
WWE now jumping over to ESPN as part of their package that they can offer. And that'll start with like Royal Rumble, WrestleMania. That's going to be the big shows especially will be coming up on that. And they have that huge deal with Netflix. athletics as well. So there's a really interesting partnership going on with that.
Are you aware of TKO's like resort packages as well? They really are loading it on, you know, just like UFC, WWE, resort, go stay at the resort and see WrestleMania, and you know, just on and on and on. It's just never, just nonstop.
They have all that in Dubai that they have
the Dubai stuff,
Dubai, Saudi Arabia.
It's kind of
so now we have all these corporate overlords. Are you sure about the NFL? I'm not sure that they won't be targeting some of these other leagues that might want to pop up because now they have a stake there in the NFL. The NFL has a stake in ESPN.
Okay, so a few couple of points I got to make because guess what? We're up against the clock. So here we go. A local angle. I mean, this will already happened by the time you hear this broadcast, but to keep it local, Darby Allin from Seattle, he's going to be in the main event for AEW this weekend.
That's in London, right?
Uh-huh, I think so. So that's cool.
Go Darby.
There is speculation that Chris Jericho is going back to WWE. I was just notified of this morning by one of my sources. One of my wrestling sources.
Y2J.
You should call them sauces.
And I watched a little video on it. His contract is up at the end of the year. And
And you know what happens right after the end of the year, right?
What's that?
The Royal Rumble.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So, well, and Jericho, he's at a point where he's very good on the financials. And, well, he's so diverse because he does the podcast and he's got his metal band, Fozzy.
He does his cruise ships.
He does the Fozzy cruise. He does know, where he gets the metal in with the wrestling and
Rockin' Rager.
And yeah, he was on Dancing with the Stars. I mean, he knows how to. He gets the reality shows going a little bit, so he's going to be all good. I think he's just looking for the interesting angle because, according to my son, who's a big wrestling fan, the quote was, "He hasn't been over with AEW crowd in a while."
So yeah, there you go. Kind of squoze the juice out of AEW, and now let's see what's more on WWE. But
the interesting thing was he was one of the founders of AEW.
That's right.
He was their
first big
sign.
So he's got a stake in it.
Yeah. Look how it worked for Cody Rhodes. So.
Right, exactly. And that was what my kid brought up, too. Mm-hmm. So, so there's that. So now, because ESPN now reminds me of like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man from the original Ghostbusters, this large behemoth.
Coming,
yeah, just squashing us because now baseball is going to be on ESPN.
Nobody
a bunch
steps on a church in all my
of
town.
It is. Yeah, ESPN Plus and all that. Money, buddy. That's what you got to have. So one of the ways to get through it is our very own Patrick McLaughlin texted to us today is to
miss you, Patrick.
Get back into the local. Yeah, much love. Get back into the local. And that leads us to the round table. So Mr. Crockett.
Absolutely, round table.
What
pro
do you got?
Wrestling.
Or do you got something on this, Connor? We got a couple minutes.
Oh yeah. Mr. Go. Patrick, he's out in the wind that shakes the barley right now. But round table this month was epic. We had a tag team title challenge against the Bad Blood and Preston. What's his name?
Pretty Paul Preston.
Paul Preston. Yep. Sexy Pants Preston.
PPP.
Yep. And they were triumphant. And keeping their title, and a butt had to be kissed as an outcome of that win by the big what was the fan, the Wu-Tang fan, the infamous roundtable Wu-Tang fan, the locals and regulars know who he is. And then there was the tournament, which was 4 out of 8. The next 4 will be next month's match, and the Rexery.
I got the details.
Go
on
ahead,
that one.
Yes,
yeah.
Please.
Local pro wrestling rules. You got to love that. The angles you didn't get away with. Coming up on September 7th from Georgie's Bar and Grill once again will be Bar Wars 4.
Yeah.
Divine Sinners. It'll be live from, as we call it, the House of Action.
Yeah, the House of Action.
The House of Action, and they will be crowning the first ever roundtable pro wrestling heavyweight champion. It'll be a fatal 4-way match between Brian Brooks, who, if you remember our last segment, we don't like that guy very much, apparently. So Chris Crowley.
Brass Knuckles, watch out.
Brian Armstrong. And finally, a friend of the show, the captain, Rip Rex.
Yay!
Made it into the absolutely.
RR. Local guy. RR.
He made it into that.
And his agent.
Ryan Black.
Manager.
Absolutely.
Majent.
Both. All four of those guys will be going at it, and the winner will be your inaugural roundtable pro wrestling heavyweight champion.
Awesome.
Also, there's
going
to be a tag match between the Monster Nation and the Grappler Four, along with Vancouver's own Kylan Rowland. Mm. And he'll be doing it for a roundtable.
That'll be epic.
Okay.
And again, September 7th at 5 p.m. Start from Georgie's Bar and Grill. You get tickets at the door. You can also stream it, depending on where you're listening to this. You can stream. Check out Roundtable for Wrestling for more information on how you can stream it online as well.
Okay, awesome. So
yeah, you can definitely catch it on our station. We're live broadcasting. So 99.9
and awesome. KXRW. Yeah, Connor and Patrick with the call.
We'll be
on
there.
That.
Yep, we'll be there.
Okay, now it's time for some hoops to finish off this action. It's funny because we let off our last episode, with Dame coming back to the Blazers. More Blazer news. It has been quite a summer between Dame and the Young Hansen draft pick, and now they've been sold. They've been actually sold. I thought it wasn't going to be till the end of the year, but here we go. A bunch of billionaires bought it. The lead billionaire is Tom Dundon. Okay.
At least it's not DuPont. Huh?
Yeah, no, there you go.
And he's the National Hockey League's Carolina Hurricanes owner.
Yes.
And he's bought a team. He's bought the majority of the team, mm-hmm. valued at over $4 billion.
And one of the guys who's in the group of investors is out of Portland. I do know that. He has a business out of Portland. A big old money-making million-dollar business.
Well, at least there's some connection.
And silly fact, if you put the pinwheel up against the Carolina hockey team logo, it's about the same thing. It's about the same thing because the hurricane, it's the eye of the hurricane, mm-hmm. against a pinwheel. Mm-hmm. And you look at it and you're like, hey, maybe he likes that. So I told you I would give you my hot take because we just have a couple minutes because we got to talk some local hoops because that's what we're all about. But here's what I think happens. We'll go around the room and tell me what you think happens with the franchise. I'm going to say this. I'm going to say, judging by what I read on this owner, principal owner, I'm going to say it's going to be a honeymoon for a couple of years, about 2 years, and then he's going to come out and say, we would like to stay here, but we need a new arena. And I don't think the taxpayers of Portland and the surrounding area are really going to be pretty into it because, if you remember, the Rose Garden, Paul Allen paid for most of that out of his own pocket. And that's why they're still here. So they might be going up north, I hate to say, because you have a climate pledge ready. It's got all the boxes the NBA wants. And all that. So that's what I think is going to happen. I would like for the people of Portland to be able to step up and realize, because it's not just the arena, it's the area. Mm-hmm. You have to have an area where you have different bars, restaurants, shops, and experience. They want an experience with these things now. Okay, Connor, what's going to happen?
Yeah, it would definitely take away from the local vibe. Well, I would just love to see the Travis brothers be the ones to buy the team, but I know, you know, these billionaires are, or the Knight brothers, excuse me, Travis brothers, Travis Knight's sons, or Travis is the son, right? Phil Knight's the dad. Yeah, yeah. Travis and the other ones, I don't remember. Anyway, yeah, the Knights, I felt like, should have ended up with the team.
That would have been a great idea. Yeah. Didn't quite happen.
Okay. However.
We'll just see what happens. I don't want to see them leave. I want to continue to park in Damian Lillard's EV parking spot.
That's
share
right.
that with him.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah,
okay.
At the Moda Center.
Macy.
Yeah, I think with the move of bringing back Lillard was a thing to kind of get the fans excited again. You get arguably the greatest Blazer of all time there. So they're trying to bring some excitement back to the city. I still think it's too hard to predict to see how it all goes through. But I actually think there will be a Seattle expansion team and a Vegas expansion team, and Portland will stay.
All right. Crack it.
Yeah, the key word for me is intends. Mm-hmm. I've heard that language before. I was in Seattle hearing that when the Sonics were sold to Clay Bennett. Intends to keep it.
Yeah.
And it's not just the stadium getting that built. It'll be they'll have demands that just will not possibly be met. The lease runs out in 2030. Like David said, I do think that Seattle will already have a team, so I think they'll be finding a different location for it, but it'll happen then. He's not he's not beholden to this area, and there's nothing in the agreement that that demands that he keeps the team in Portland.
Right.
And that arena is, you know, it's going to be something they need to have fixed, and it's just an easy way out.
Okay, we got a couple years at least, guys, so let's enjoy the honeymoon.
I'd say there's conflicting geopolitical idealizations.
Yeah. I do think
25 cent word of the day.
Unless they do something differently, I think the team is good enough that – it might be the team will be successful. It'll make it difficult on them to make a move like that, because I do think the talent they put together, including bringing Lillard in, will make them an interesting team to follow for the next couple of years.
Like I said, it won't
be like when the Sonics left and there was nobody in the stands, right? Because we knew it was happening.
Yeah, honeymoon. Okay, so lastly, we got a couple minutes left. Let's talk some basketball real quick. Vancouver Volcanoes. By the time you listen to this, they've already been in Mexico at a tournament. A couple of names off the roster.
Yeah, absolutely. We look at the Volcanoes. They do real good work down in Mexico pretty consistently.
Yeah,
they
great get tournament
done.
Play.
Coach Hill goes down there. Curtis, he gets the job done when he goes down there, brings in a lot of good players. Darius Gary, who already has a contract to play in Mexico, so he's doing really good work down there. Boogie Ford making his return into the Volcanoes fold. Mm-hmm. And then, as we've heard a couple of times, NS Amos is looking at having a future at point guard for the Volcanoes.
Watch your mouth.
Right. And that'll be fun to say in the upcoming years.
Five times fast.
If it works out for that. And he's really enjoying having him in the fold, working with the coaches and then also the players that might be coming in for next season. So a couple other players, Yassim Hooker, a couple of 6'5 guys, which is really nice. And then Kalen Tibbins, who played with the Enid Outlaws last year. He looks like that's an addition that they made to that roster as well.
Okay. There we go with that.
Kalen Tibbins.
All right. And lastly, we got about a minute left. Macy, the Sasquatch, what's with the branding controversy? Talk about it.
Yeah, so
you got 45 seconds.
When we were at the fairgrounds, a lot of people who came to look at our stand there, they thought we were actually searching for Sasquatch. They didn't think we were actually a franchise. So we had to change that logo and put a little basketball on it so they could tell that we were a team. So,
oh, that's funny.
Well, and the fun thing was, in the owner, Brandon, he did a great job. He went on social media and he's like, if you bought the original merch, bring it back. We'll exchange it free of charge. But David, he's keeping his.
Oh, absolutely.
He wants that collector's item.
Well, it's still there. They just added a basketball.
Okay. Yeah.
They just added a basketball, had his arms. They put a basketball in there.
It's like having the Air rookie card, like back in the day of sports cards.
You got
like,
it without it being nasty.
Just not Billy Ripken's.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Without it being nasty. And on that note, the nasty note, we will leave you guys. So thank you so much for tuning in as you continue to do. Feel free to make comments, KXRW, on the website.
Let us know what you think of the show.
Yeah, and listen to the past episodes. Yeah. They're on there. It's all archived. So thank you very much, Vancouver, and we will see you later.
Yeah. Remember, follow on Instagram at FromTheCoo.
Yeah. Adios, KXRW listeners. Call.